We're continuing chapter 17 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And just for our listeners, there is a hairy kitten who is cuddling with about...
Let's count.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
Four.
Four.
Five. Seven. Eight. And where's Midas?
He's under there somewhere. He disappeared.
Did we count Lily already?
I don't remember.
Where's Midas?
Is he behind you?
I was laying on him.
Oh.
So something like nine.
Nine.
Oh, one, two. Three,
nine animals. Well, we could name them all. We've got... Okay.
Mistletoe.
Midas.
Ferdinand.
He's baby. Yeah, we just got Ferdinand because he's adorable.
Honey bear.
And kitten.
honey bear and kitten.
Yeah.
Lily.
Flurry. Did you count Flurry?
I did not yet. Okay. But wait, Lamekin.
Flurry.
Charlemagne. And
Shmoopy.
How many is that?
Did you count Midas already?
Didn't we say Midas?
Yeah, I think we said Midas. That's 10.
Okay, there we go.
We've got a family of 10. We've got two tigers, right?
Two tigers.
We've got one kitten.
One kitten. One lammy. One bunny.
One puppy.
One puppy. Two bears. A caribou.
And that's it.
Is that it?
And one lion. We forgot Midas again.
Oh,
poor Midas.
I still love you. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. Now that we've got that straightened out. So here we go. No Quidditch practice, said Angelina in hollow tones when Harry, Ron, and Hermione entered the common room that night after dinner. But I kept my temper, said Harry, horrified. I didn't say anything to her, Angelina. I know, said Angelina miserably. She just said that she needs a bit of time to consider. Consider what? Said Ron angrily. She's given the Slytherins permission, why not us? But Harry could imagine how much Umbridge was enjoying holding the threat of no Gryffindor Quidditch team over their heads, and could easily understand why she would not want to relinquish that weapon over them so soon. Well, said Hermione, look on the bright side. At least now you'll have time to do Snape's essay. That's a bright side, is it? Snapped Harry, while Ron stared incredulously at Hermione. I think that's a bright side.
Oh, God.
No Quidditch practice and extra potions? Harry slumped down in a chair. dragging his potions essay reluctantly from his bag, and set to work. It was very hard to concentrate, even though he knew that Sirius was not due in the fire until much later. He could not help glancing into the flames every few minutes, just in case. There was also an incredible amount of noise in the room. Fred and George appeared to finally have perfected one type of skiving snack box, which they were taking turns to demonstrate to a cheering and whooping crowd. First, Fred would take a bite out of the orange end of a chew, at which he would vomit spectacularly into a bucket they'd placed in front of them. Then he would force down the purple end of the chew, at which the vomiting would immediately cease. Lee Jordan, who was assisting the demonstration, was lazily vanishing the vomit at regular intervals with the same vanishing spell Snape kept using on Harry's potions. What with the regular sounds of retching, cheering, and Fred and George taking advance orders from the crowd, Harry was finding it exceptionally difficult to focus on the correct methods for strengthening solutions. Hermione was not helping matters. The cheers and sounds of vomit hitting the bottom of Fred and George's bucket were punctuated by loud and disapproving sniffs that Harry found, if anything, more distracting. Just go and stop them, then, he said irritably, after crossing out the wrong weight of powdered griffin claw for the fourth time. I can't. They're not technically doing anything wrong, said Hermione through gritted teeth. They're quite within their rights to eat the foul things themselves, and I can't find a rule that says the other idiots aren't entitled to buy them unless they're proven to be dangerous in some way, and it doesn't look as though they are. She, Harry, and Ron watched George projectile vomit into the bucket, gulp down the rest of the chew, straighten up, beaming, with his arms wide to protracted applause. You know, I don't get why Fred and George only got three owls each, said Harry, watching as Fred, George, and Lee collected gold from the eager crowd. They really know their stuff. Oh, they only know flashy stuff that's no real use to anyone, said Hermione disparagingly. No real use, said Ron in a strained voice. Hermione, they've got 26 galleons already. It was a long while before the crowd around the Weasleys dispersed, and then Fred, George, and Lee sat up, counting their takings even longer. So it was well past midnight when Harry, Ron, and Hermione finally had the common room to themselves again. At long last, Fred closed the doorway to the boys' dormitories behind him, rattling his box of galleons ostentatiously so that Hermione scowled. Harry, who was making very little progress in his potions essay, decided to give it up for the night. As he put his books away, Ron, who was dozing lightly in an armchair, gave a muffled grunt, awoke, looked blearily into the fire, and said, "Sirius." Harry whipped around. Sirius's untidy dark head was sitting in the fire again. "Hi," he said, grinning. "Hi," chorused Harry, Ron, and Hermione, all three kneeling down on a hearthrug. Crookshanks purred loudly and approached the fire, trying, despite the heat, to put his face close to Sirius's. "How are things?" said Sirius. "Not that good," said Harry, as Hermione pulled Crookshanks back to stop him singeing his whiskers. "The Ministry's forced it through another decree, which means we're not allowed to have Quidditch teams." "Or Secret Defense Against the Dark Arts groups," said Sirius. There was a short pause. "How did you know about that?" Harry demanded. "You want to choose your meeting places more carefully," said Sirius, grinning still more broadly. "A Hogshead, I ask you." "Well, it was better than the Three Broomsticks," said Hermione defensively. "It's always packed with people." "Which means you'd have been harder to overhear," said Sirius. "You've got a lot to learn, Hermione." "Who overheard us?" Harry demanded. "Mundungus, of course," said Sirius. And when they all looked puzzled, he laughed. "He was the witch under the veil." "That was Mundungus," Harry said, stunned. "What was he doing in the Hogshead?" "What do you think he was doing?" said Sirius impatiently. "Keeping an eye on you, of course." "I'm still being followed?" said Harry angrily. "Yeah, you are," said Sirius. "And just as well, isn't it? If the first thing you're going to do with your weekend off is organize an illegal defense group." But he looked neither angry nor worried. On the contrary, he was looking at Harry with distinct pride. "Why was Dong hidden from us?" said Ron, sounding disappointed. "We'd have liked to see him." "He was banned from the Hogshead 20 years ago," said Sirius, "and the barman's got a long memory. We lost Moody's spare invisibility cloak when Sturgis was arrested, so Dong's been dressing as a witch a lot lately. Anyway, first of all, Ron, I sworn to pass on a message from your mother."
"Oh yeah?" said Ron, sounding apprehensive.
"She says, on no account whatsoever are you to take part in a legal secret defense against the dark arts group. She says you'll be expelled for sure, and your future will be ruined. She says there will be plenty of time to learn how to defend yourself later, that you are too young to be worrying about that right now. She also," Sirius's eyes turned to the other two, "advises Harry and Hermione not to proceed with the group, though she accepts that she has no authority over either of them, and simply begs them to remember that she has their best interests at heart. She would have written this all to you, but if an owl had intercepted, you'd all have been in real trouble. She can't say it for herself because she's on duty tonight." "On duty doing what?" said Ron quickly. "Never you mind, just stuff for the order," said Sirius. "So it's fallen to me to be the messenger, and make sure you tell her I passed it on, because I don't think she trusts me to." There was another pause, in which Crookshanks, meowing, attempted to paw Sirius's head, and Ron fiddled with the hole in the hearthrug. "So you want me to say I'm not going to take part in the defense group?" he muttered finally. "Me? Certainly not," said Sirius, looking surprised. "I think it's an excellent idea." "You do?" said Harry, his heart lifting. "Of course I do," said Sirius. "You think your father and I would have lain down and taken orders from an old hag like Umbridge?" "But last term, all you did was tell me to be careful and not take risks." "Last year, all the evidence was that someone inside Hogwarts was trying to kill you, Harry," said Sirius impatiently. "This year, we know there's someone outside Hogwarts who'd like to kill us all, so I think learning to defend yourself properly is a very good idea." "And if we get expelled?" said Hermione, a quizzical look on her face. "Hermione, this whole thing was your idea," said Harry, staring at her.
I know it was. I just wondered what Sirius thought, she said, shrugging. Well, better expelled and able to defend yourself than sitting safely in school without a clue, said Sirius. Hear, hear, said Ron and Harry, enthusiastically. So, said Sirius, how are you organizing this group? Where are you meeting? Well, that's a bit of a problem, said Harry. Don't know where we're going to be able to go. How about the Shrieking Shack, suggested Sirius. Hey, that's an idea, said Ron excitedly. But Hermione made a skeptical noise, and then all three of them looked at her, Sirius's head turning into the flames. Well, Sirius, it's just that there were only four of you meeting in the Shrieking Shack when you were at school, said Hermione. And all of you could transform into animals, and I suppose you could all have squeezed under a single invisibility cloak if you'd wanted to. But there are 28 of us, and none of us is an animagus, and we wouldn't so much as need an invisibility cloak as an invisibility marquee. Fair point, said Sirius, looking slightly crestfallen. Well, I'm sure you'll come up with something somewhere. There used to be a pretty roomy secret passageway behind that big mirror on the fourth floor. You might have enough space to practice jinxes. Fred and George told me it's blocked, said Harry, shaking his head. Caved in or something. Where was I? Oh, said Sirius, frowning. Well, I think I'll have to go and get back to you. He broke off. His face was suddenly tense, alarmed. He turned sideways, apparently looking into a solid brick wall of the fireplace. Sirius? Said Harry anxiously. But he'd vanished. Harry gaped at the flames for a moment and then turned to look at Ron and Hermione. Why did he... Hermione gave a horrified gasp and leapt to her feet, still staring at the fire. A hand had appeared among the flames, groping, as though to catch hold of something. A stubby, short-fingered hand covered in ugly, old-fashioned rings. The three of them ran for it. At the door of the boys' dormitory, Harry looked back. Umbridge's hand was still making snatching movements among the flames, as though she knew exactly where Sirius's hair had been moments before and was determined to seize it. And that's the end of chapter 17. And next we'll read chapter 18 called Dumbledore's Army.
I hope you like that kitten, Boo. You're a very adorable kitten with all your stuffed animals all caught up. I love you so much. Sleep well, sweetheart. Good night.